There will soon be 300,000 American military personnel in the Persian Gulf, the largest mobilization in more than a decade. The armed forces have changed since Desert Storm. For one thing, they're savvier about how mental stress can impair soldiers' performance. NPR's Richard Knox has been spending some time with an Army stress control unit at Fort Hood, Texas. Its job, to keep soldiers mentally fit.
42,000 soldiers are stationed at Fort Hood, home of the 1st Cavalry and the 4th Infantry. It's the largest military post in the world. Over the past month, nearly 30,000 of Fort Hood soldiers have received orders to deploy to the Middle East. Among them is one small unit with a unique mission. Its commander is a psychiatric nurse, Lieutenant Colonel Ann Honer.
I encourage, if you're going to SRP this morning, please don't lollygag. Get it done and get out of there.
Colonel Honer's 85th Medical Detachment has a new role in today's Army, combat stress control. The U.S. Army has three such units, and other service branches have their own, all established in the mid-1990s. They're responsible for soldiers' emotional health. That might sound oddly touchy-feely, but the goal is not to keep soldiers happy.
You know, don't stand in line, don't be running to the Shopette to go get cappuccino and all those kinds of things.
Colonel Honer's job is to keep soldiers mentally fit to fight. Her unit is trained to diagnose soldiers at risk of breaking down and intervene early so they can keep doing their jobs. But right now, the 43 members of the 85th are soldiers first, mental health specialists second.
Just move on out and get the stuff done so you can get on over to the briefings. Just make that happen. Oh, let's go.
Honer's dressed in desert battle fatigues like her troops. She hustles off to a building called the Battle Simulation Center for a briefing on the culture of a certain Middle Eastern country. Other members of the 85th head off across the utilitarian sprawl of Fort Hood to the individual readiness training area, a tight cluster of camouflage tents. Inside, soldiers learn how to avoid landmines, how to deal with the media, and how to inject the antidote to nerve gas.
I'm going to grab that number one injector, the atropine, right? You really don't need a jabby motion with these. You apply firm, even pressure, that needle will inject.
The 85th contingent in this tent need this kind of training because they'll be deployed close to the fighting. The unit contains soldiers of various ranks. That's no accident. A stressed-out private is more likely to confide in another private than an officer. But it means that most of the Army's stress control specialists do not have advanced training in mental health. One of the 85th's newer members is a tall recruit with an innocent Midwestern look. Under the Kevlar helmet, her blonde hair is caught up in a ponytail.
PFC McBride, or PFC Woods, I'm sorry. I'm newly married. I'm a mental health specialist.
Why did you join the Army?
To get out of Michigan, get something different, change of pace. The Army gives you more opportunities than Michigan does.
When she signed up, Betty McBride Woods told the Army she wanted to be a counselor of some sort.
I was looking for a job where I could help people. I did it all my life through school, you know, with my friends and stuff, always talking to people and helping people. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm pretty good at this. Let's make it a career. Now I'm here in the freezing cold, talking to people.
But not for long. She's off to take some tests in NBC, Nuclear, Biological, and Chemical Warfare.
Left, right, left, right.
A mile away, one of the 85th's officers briefs a couple hundred soldiers on how to minimize stress on the home front.
Okay, when you get in the fight, okay, you guys ever, once in a while raise your voices? Yeah, okay. Does anyone here have a friend who's married who ever raises their voice?
Captain Bobby Seidel has a PhD in clinical psychology.
How many here, when you've been deployed, you've seen a soldier on the phone for their 15-minute morale call, just slam it down after they've been in an argument and their day is shot and they're in a bad mood for the next 2 or 3 days? Okay. So the point is, if those of you who are in significant relationships, you need to set some ground rules up before you go, okay? And that is...
In today's Army, there are more married soldiers than singles. Seidel says things like rocky relationships and children's school problems cause soldiers more anguish than the stresses of actual combat. After the briefing, Seidel recalls a soldier he was called on to evaluate in Kuwait.
And he started the whole spiel of, if I don't get to go home and see my family now, I'm going to kill myself. Or I want out of the Army, I want to go home, or I'm going to kill myself.
Seidel decided that soldier was depressed, but not truly suicidal. But in a situation where everybody carries a gun, the Army has to take those threats very seriously. At its worst, Seidel notes, combat stress reactions can lead soldiers to mutilate enemy corpses, massacre civilians, and frag their own officers. But short of that, a zoned-out soldier can put his entire unit in danger.
There's Captain Seidel.
Dusty.
Seidel's back at headquarters, a khaki-colored hut the size of two railroad cars. He's got to confirm a briefing he's giving on battle fatigue.
Combat stress control basically is treating all the mental health issues of the American soldier. And that can be anything from basic fatigue factors related to being in a wartime environment to severe issues like PTSD.
Combat stress specialists do not claim they can prevent post-traumatic stress disorder. Their mission is more immediate and pragmatic. First, try to spot soldiers before they get into serious trouble. To do that, members of the 85th talk to commanders. They network with chaplains who often hear about problems soldiers don't confide to officers. And most important, they do what they call walkabouts.
It might be where I'm walking from one tent to the other and see a soldier, we get to talking, and we just talk as we go along. It might be when the scouts have just come in and they recognize me, we chat and we do it right there at their Humvee. I mean, I got stuff that I'm taking with me on a laptop that I can just literally flop up on top of a Humvee and do some intervention right there in the middle of the desert. So it really is what we call tailgate medicine.
Seidel's laptop contains screening tests he can give on the spot to tell if a soldier is clinically depressed. But Major Paul Burney, a psychiatrist with the 85th, says not all stress control detective work is high-tech.
Low morale comes out in many different ways. Those that aren't changing their socks well enough have foot problems. And a lot of times that's a morale problem, and it has as much of a psychiatric fix as a medical fix.
Burney says bad morale can spread like a virus. Whole units get sick. And sometimes the problem is commanders who are pushed beyond their limits. When an individual soldier is stressed out, Burney says the fix is not psychotherapy.
To be honest, normally in combat psychiatry, you're looking to put people back together again. You're not really looking to dig real deep into past issues or problems. Your interactions tend to be brief, spread out. It really isn't formal psychotherapy.
What we stress is we want to keep the soldiers as close to their units as possible.
Captain Bobby Seidel.
And what that does is it lets the soldier know nothing's seriously wrong with me. I'm not so messed up that I got to be dragged all the way back to the rear with the gear because I'm that sick. And what we try to do is say, hey, you know what? There's a cot right there. I'm going to shut this flap. You are going to be uninterrupted and you're safe. I want you to sit down and just sleep. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to be well enough to do their job, take care of themselves, take care of their unit, and take care of their buddy. And that's what it's all about.
They call it three hots in a cot. It's old wisdom backed up by modern research. Stress control doctrine holds that most soldiers bounce back faster when they're not evacuated far from their unit. They're not allowed to dwell on their feelings. And everybody around them conveys the expectation they're going to go back into action as soon as possible. It's band-aid psychiatry, and sometimes that poses an uncomfortable conflict for mental health professionals.
Being a civilian, we are taught as a, you know, in grad school, you know, you gotta take care of the person, take care of the person, take care of the person. But we're talking about soldiers who are literally going down to protect our freedom. They don't have to be 100% healthy in order to do that. And that means you're gonna have soldiers going back who are clinically depressed. And that's hard to get out of, because as a whether you're a physician or a psychologist, you're taught to nurture and take care. And part of that is saying, what are the needs of the Army versus the needs of the soldier? And sometimes it's telling a soldier, I know you don't want to go back, but you are healthy enough to go back and maybe give up your life. It sucks, but it's part of it.
Gas, gas, gas!
Members of the 85th are in the middle of a simulated nerve gas attack, and PFC Betty Woods is getting a taste of combat stress herself. She gets her gas mask on within the required 9 seconds.
9-1000! Stop!
She struggles into her biological and chemical protective suit, gives a double thumbs up, and turns to help a buddy.
Long day. It's cold.
Now she's decontaminating herself from the supposed chemical agent. That means smearing her hands and face with charcoal.
Remember, you have already had this chemical agent on you for a long period of time. Don't take your hoods off.
This is Wood's first encounter with chemical warfare.
It's a big wake-up call. It says, hey, you know, this is for real. This isn't just going to the field for a week and coming back home, you know, sleeping in your nice warm bed. The closer we get to takeoff day, the more and more real it gets.
She can see I started moving stuff out.
It's the end of a long, busy day. Captain Seidel is back at home.
Do you guys mind if I go change into civvies real quick? Because I am so sick of being in uniform.
This evening, Seidel's checking his gear.
This is it right here. This is your rucksack.
I tend to be a little obsessive compulsive. Double check, triple check, make sure I got everything before I go. But I got, you know, some highly potent bug spray. This is the goggles. So it keeps the sand out. These are a must. Shower sandals. Because, man, it can get nasty where you have to shower.
But a psychologist's rucksack also contains some tricks of the trade, like several decks of cards, always a good icebreaker, and a portable DVD player.
Oh, another good thing. I'm bringing a bunch of movies because it's a good way for soldiers to decompress and unwind and, again, just let them know I'm available.
He's also packing a few really lousy jokes.
What do you say to a hitchhiker with one leg? Hop in. What do you say to a hitchhiker with no legs? Need a lift? That usually does it. And they start shaking their head, and I'm like, yeah, I know they're pretty bad, but I got you to smile. And learn some new French jokes. Well, I won't use those.
As he readies for war, Seidel says he's reconciled his roles as an Army officer and a psychologist, even though it is tough to patch up a traumatized soldier and send him back to the front.
So whatever I can do, whatever small part I got, sorry. So any small part I can do, whether it's just giving them a safe place to vent, if that helps them get over the hump to go down and do what they got to do, then it's an honor on my part to talk to them.
Captain Bobby Seidel and the 85th Medical Division have their orders to deploy to the Persian Gulf, but as they say around here, they're sitting on G, waiting for O. Richard Knox, NPR News, Fort Hood, Texas.
And that story was produced by Rebecca Davis. There are photos of the 85th Medical Division in training at Fort Hood at our website, npr.org.